On this edition of the Iowa Business Report.
The deals that we are participating in are those deals that truly that a rising tide lifts all boats.
Economic development takes on various forms in Iowa. We'll talk with the director of the state agency responsible for it. One Iowa congressman is working to cut the burden of government red tape for small businesses. And in our business profile, we'll learn about an Iowa company that started because of one major client. This is the Iowa Business Report for the third weekend of April 2024.
The Iowa Business Report is a copyrighted production of Totally Iowa Media, which is solely responsible for its content. For more, click on the radio programs button at totallyiowa.com. Here is Jeff Stein.
The Iowa Rural Development Summit was held in Ames earlier this month, with a crowd of some 400 gathering for the multi-day event. While there, I caught up with Debbie Durham, Director of the Iowa Economic Development Authority and the Iowa Finance Authority, about the challenges and opportunities for economic development in our state. Obviously, in a state like Iowa, we have some tremendous opportunities because of diverse areas, but that poses challenges for someone in your position as well. Talk a bit about how you try to merge these various interests and opportunities.
Well, I think it begins by just understanding what it is we're doing, right? So we spend 2 to 3 days a week in communities of all size, and we meet with leadership, and we look at neighborhoods, housing, economic development opportunities, recreational quality of life. And then we sit down with the leadership and basically say, what's the vision? What's the plan? And then where's the state and how can we help you? And it's worked pretty well for us, actually. A lot of the programs we have today actually started from those community visits. And probably the one that's the most transformational is our Catalyst program that we do downtown. That started in a community visit in Pocahontas, Iowa. Remember it vividly. And so it's good to get out and about. It's good to listen.
We have to be creative, and I think that's probably always been true, but especially in the current economic climate. And so this is something where I know people look to you because of the agency that you run, but again, it's a dialogue.
It is a dialogue. That's where it begins. And actually, the legislature has really been a great partner with IEDA. So they give us basically, if you will, incentives and tools to use, but they give us a certain amount of flexibility to make them work, particularly to make them work in rural areas. And so though they'll give us a certain amount of incentives, but they let it up to us at IEDA and our board of directors to decide how we make that work in communities. So when we come in, I always say when you see one deal at IEDA, you see one deal, because it's not really formula driven, right? It really is community driven. It's really what is it that we need to do, particularly for this community, and apply that creativity, as you said, because even though there's a certain theme that is common everywhere, we need housing, right? Everybody has a different inventory to work with and to go forth with.
The governor and I have talked about some of the national efforts, how things like the caucuses, perhaps now women's basketball, draws attention to the state. So when the name Iowa comes up in something like that, what can the agency and its partners do to take advantage of the opportunity when people are giving us a look?
Well, I have to tell you that certainly Iowa's brand is rising, right? And, you know, all you have to do is think of Caitlin Clark to see that. And what a great spokesperson she has been for the state of Iowa and how all eyes have been on Iowa. But whether it's the caucus or whether it's even the This Is Iowa campaign that Governor Reynolds launched for us right after COVID, when our research shows that people were looking to move and relocate, then when we asked the questions, what would you move for? It was all about affordability and quality of life and housing. And then it was about safety, all the things that we check all the boxes. But then we asked the final question when we were doing the test marketing, and it was, but then what do you think of Iowa? Because we checked the boxes, and their questions were like many, where exactly is Iowa? And do you grow potatoes, right? And so we knew we needed a major brand campaign. So I think just really the combination of really Governor Reynolds having such a high national profile certainly has not hurt us at all. And then the caucuses, and that This Is Iowa, and then, of course, all fights on women's sports and basketball, that has helped us. And I think that we continue to propel that forward and use that in our social media and our targeted marketing. So yeah, I was getting a lot of great exposure these days.
As you noted, when an entity, a business, an organization is looking to come somewhere, If it was just a neutral form, they check a bunch of boxes and then you put the name Iowa to it and they might look away. What are some of the things that you can point out that we all here know in terms of the education necessary so that these folks put Iowa in the positive column, potatoes notwithstanding?
Correct. So it really does begin, as you said, with a national search when there's really no name attached, right? They're looking for a piece of land. They're looking for a certain supply chain, maybe a transportation grid movement system. And so they begin with this very, very macro search, and then they begin to narrow it down. The thing that really separates us is the competitiveness. They're always looking at our competitiveness. And when you look at what Governor Reynolds and the legislature has done to make us more competitive, both on corporate and individual income tax, huge difference. But even that, just the way we approach regulation in the state, the way we approach collaboration with departments, you know, in Iowa, we're never about the transaction. We're never going to win a deal based on incentives, and we never should, right? It's really about the relationship, and it's a long-term value proposition. So we play in our lane. We know who we are. We target them. And then once we narrow it down, then it really comes down to the community, though, because the state steals the state's deal. And so usually what happens, in fact, we just had a search that I'm hoping to announce at the board meeting on Friday that started with about four communities, and then they chose one community. So the communities are the ones that win and lose deals. Because when it gets down to that level, the company is making a commitment to that community that we believe you are the place where we can attract a workforce. And that becomes that community development. And that's everything around good schools, recreation opportunities, and, you know, housing opportunities. Is it a place that's vibrant? It's a place where people want to live.
That's interesting to me because, in essence, what you're able to do is make an introduction. You get us past the first level, and then you introduce these prospective businesses to individual communities.
It becomes very personal. Very personal. You're right. We introduce them to the state. We sell Iowa, and then the communities sell themselves. And we're their estate partners, but at the end of the day, again, our deal is the same deal whether you're in XYZ community. And that's what I said today in one of our breakout sessions. You know, these companies come in and they drive your community. They don't do the tour that the community puts on. They do the tour themselves. And what do they see? Do they see boarded up windows downtown? Do they see dilapidated houses? And, you know, is there a level of pride? And those things matter.
It's very different when you're buying a house online or then you see it in person.
It's very different. Yeah, it's very different.
Let me ask you finally, when you run into people, not necessarily at an event like this, because these people are clued into the process, they know you, they've worked with you, but when you come across an Iowan and you tell them what you do, what does the average Iowan not understand about economic development efforts and why government is involved?
I think what's surprising to people is how we approach growth holistically. It's not just about having a great business climate, which our businesses prosper, and that's taxation, regulatory, transportation, infrastructure. But it's equally as important we build communities people want to live. But at the end of the day, I am not a developer that believes all development's good development. I don't believe all jobs are good jobs. We're looking for opportunities where our citizens can thrive, right? So we're looking for those jobs that really raise that standard of living for Iowans. And I think when they understand that we look at it holistically, and then again, the deals that we are participating in are those deals that truly, that a rising tide lifts all boats. And that's how we approach growth. I think most people are surprised at that.
Debbie Durham is the director of the Iowa Economic Development Authority and the Iowa Finance Authority. For more information, go to iowaeda.com. We spoke in Ames at the Iowa Rural Development Summit on Thursday, April 11. Still to come, help for small businesses and 20 years of growing a business that's just around the corner from you. You're listening to the Iowa Business Report. The Iowa Soybean Association celebrates National Soy Foods Month this April. Did you know foods containing soy protein provide 9 essential amino acids and reduce the risk for heart disease? Foods made from soybeans, such as edamame, tofu, and soy milk, are packed with fiber, iron, and zinc. Create a healthy lifestyle while supporting Iowa farmers by consuming more soy-based foods. Brought to you by the Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soybean Checkoff, celebrating 60 years of moving the industry forward. Welcome back to the Iowa Business Report. I'm Jeff Stein. Many small business owners love running their companies, but hate all the paperwork, especially paperwork coming from government. Iowa 3rd District Congressman Zach Nunn told me about legislation he is proposing to help relieve that burden.
So we have been seeing just a tranche of large-scale regulation coming out of Washington, D.C., aimed at really trying to tackle, I think, some cases, big businesses in places like New York and L.A. And the Biden administration, from my perspective, has really taken a broadsword to this. It's making regulations that would be incredibly complex and difficult for most businesses in Iowa of almost any size. And it's the equivalent of putting my high school son in the same wrestling weight class as the senior lineup at Iowa State University. It's just not fair, and it's not intended to be that way. We've got to really look at how do we help small businesses, which, Jeff, is one of the reasons I'm working right now with a bipartisan bill that I am leading, the Small Business Red Tape Relief Act, really aimed at identifying the thousands of pages of regulations that have come out of Washington, D.C. bureaucracies from overwhelming small businesses and medium businesses, family farms included, across our country from just being impacted by things that were never intended to be their responsibility.
One of the things that you and I have talked about before, and Senator Ernst has talked about it a fair amount as well, given her committee work on the Small Business Committee, is the lack of understanding by Washington about what it takes to actually make a payroll. Is that part of the problem where the people who are career bureaucrats are so locked into their own bubble they just don't know how the real world operates?
Jeff, you're absolutely right. I mean, the Biden bureaucracy, very few of them not only have made a payroll, but when they have a legal question, they have an entire legal team that they just call up and they get that problem addressed. When they have a question with another bureaucracy that they may have a conflicting regulation with, they're not the ones getting fined when they get answers late to the other one. And they're certainly not the kind of people who have to go through audit after audit by another federal agency. The reality for every small business in Iowa. You've got to hire an outside legal counsel. You've got to have an independent audit being done. You have to make sure that you hit the timeline. And if you're not hitting those timelines, then you're looking at real penalties coming from a very non-responsive federal government that could just crush ability to operate, not to mention cause real economic impact for the folks who are working with you, whether they be the customers, the community, or your very own employees who you're spending more time trying to meet a federal regulation aimed at somebody in New York that you're having to get addressed in a rural community right here in Iowa.
Representative Nunn told me he was optimistic about the bill's passage, given its bipartisan support from the start, both in the U.S. House and Senate. Coming up, on camera, you're listening to the Iowa Business Report. Make plans to attend the annual Camp Courageous Omelet Breakfast and Open House Sunday, April 28th from 8 a.m. until noon at the Camp Courageous Main Lodge. Only $10 for adults, $5 for children 12 and under. Enjoy made-to-order omelets and sausage and tour this unique facility. Train rides, live oldies music, zipline rides, laser tag, and more. See you for the Omelet Breakfast and Open House Sunday, April 28th at Camp Courageous near Monticello, Iowa. CampCourageous.org. Welcome back to the Iowa Business Report. I'm Jeff Stein. Around the Corner Productions is a Cedar Falls-based company that started with a basic idea and has grown well beyond its original purpose over the past two decades. Eric Braley is founder and president of Around the Corner Productions.
I attended UNI in the late 1990s studying digital media and then was a graduate student working in UNI athletics, and I saw the need for high-end video production for the UNI Panthers athletic department. I made a big pitch to the athletic department at the time, said, give me this budget, hire me, hire one other person, and we'll take care of everything. They said, great idea, I love it. We don't have the funds to do that. We would encourage you to start a business, and we will contract you to do our live broadcast, to do the weekly Panther sports show, and to do the video board in arena content. The only problem with that is I had never taken a business class in my 6 years at UNI, but I decided to jump off a cliff and figure out how to build the parachute or plane on the way down. And with that entrepreneurial spirit, we launched Around the Corner Productions in 2005 with the main goal of producing high-end video content for UNI Athletics. We still do that today, but we have diversified where we do TV commercials, where we do manufacturing videos for places like John Deere. We do videos for Barilla Pasta, which is the largest pasta maker in the world, and everything in between, from a car commercial to a training safety video for Omega Cabinets. If it's video, not wedding videos or tape dubs from VHS to digital, but if it's capturing a story and creating videos, it usually falls under the umbrella at Around the Corner Productions.
One of the big things for people as they consider starting a business, they wonder where they're going to get their customers. And the biggest hurdle is, gosh, how many months am I going to go without money coming in? You had potentially the advantage of, if you build that business, your first client was right there. Now, there was nothing guaranteed about it. But that had to give you at least some confidence in saying, I may not know how to start a business and I'm going to have to figure out how to monetize it, but at least I don't have to worry about the first customer.
Huge advantage with that relationship that was established, having worked as a student and graduate student for the athletics department at UNI. Everyone could have the greatest idea to open a bicycle shop or a restaurant, but then putting pen to paper of how many people will come in on a Monday night and how much will they spend, how many cheeseburgers will they buy, what are my overhead costs, and then what is that for profit? And so having UNI Athletics was huge, and that is why we continue to give back, and no matter how Around the Corner Productions grows and diversifies as we enter our third decade of existence, because UNI Athletics helped us get to where we are today, not only is it a passion project and client, we would not be where we are without it.
Talk about how you came up with the name. As I recall, it has to do with your first location.
Absolutely. We just wanted to be significantly localized, regionalized of, hey, we're just around the corner. And we do projects for clients in Chicago, which is really just around the corner, right? And Dubuque and Des Moines and everywhere. And we were physically located on a location where there was just around the corner. And it's kind of a long name. Sometimes we go by ATCP, but we are kind of still a mom and pop shop. We don't want to feel like we're too big for any client, and we are local and here to serve the public.
So in that 20-year period, that was a really interesting time in terms of video.
Significantly.
And I'm thinking of technology.
Yes.
I'm thinking of how easy it is to put it out there in what are non-traditional but now traditional channels. Talk a bit about how you've had to evolve over time.
Yes.
Because this was a sea change.
Yeah, and just because you've done something in the past and it worked does not mean you should keep doing it that way currently or in the future. And we created shows that aired on TV stations. Well, now people like to watch smaller samples on YouTube or Twitter or Facebook. And trying to understand with the background of research and seeing what the trends are. It is a little frustrating that a lot of our content is consumed on a phone. I'd rather have them watch it on a 60-inch screen and surround sound and everything like that, but understanding this is where the consumers are, this is how it is changing, and we don't need to buy the $30,000 cinema camera to tell the story. We can use this equipment and keep it this short in order to make sure that we're hitting the mark in 2024. And when we sit down in 10 years from now and have a similar conversation, it's going to be different. And if we keep doing the same thing 10 years from now, I don't know if we'll be as successful. So understanding the need to have a good idea at the beginning, to work hard, treat clients the way they deserve, the customers, but also being able to adapt with the times, and whether you're going through a pandemic and no one is hiring a video production company and there's no live sports happening for a long period of time, or recessions or technology or how consumers could view your content, adaptability is something, and being able to pivot.
I always found that was one of the interesting approaches where, as a video producer, you have to prepare it so they could see it on the 60-inch screen mm-hmm. or the 1-inch screen.
Yes.
It's the same content. Now, that does pose some challenges with graphics because of mm-hmm. the size of screen. But whether you're talking about 1-inch or 60-inch, whether you're talking about on a television set, traditional medium, or YouTube, mm-hmm. to use your examples, it's still all about the content and the story. That's the thread that takes us through all of these technological changes.
Yeah, and if you see my business card on the back, it says, "Let's tell your story." If you see our vans driving around, our signage says, our motto, our slogan is, "Let's tell your story." Jeff, everyone has a story to tell. Every business has a story to tell, just like I'm sharing my story now. Every building has a story to tell. And I really think visually showing that, hearing different perspectives, we're really drawn to like documentary style work because there are so many stories out there and how to package it together into a visually and engaging way. You know, Ken Burns has been famous for the amount of storytelling that he has done, but there's other ways to take that model, and it's really a lot of fun because each day, each week is different at Around the Corner Productions. If you're working for, like I said, a John Deere or a local car commercial or dentist office that wants a video to tell their story.
Eric Braley, founder and president of Around the Corner Productions in Cedar Falls, online at atc-p.com. We spoke in Waterloo on Wednesday, April 10th. And that brings us to the close of this week's program. We're back again next week at this same time. In the meantime, you can listen to all or part of today's program by going to totallyiowa.com and clicking on the radio programs link. That's where you'll find podcasts of full interviews with many of the folks you hear on this program. They're listed as IBR Extras and IBR Business Profiles. And we're also found on all the major podcast distributors, 19 now in all, with the recent addition of YouTube. Support for the Iowa Business Report comes from the Iowa Business Council, a nonpartisan nonprofit organization working to elevate Iowa's economy through leadership, research, and advocacy. Learn more and review the group's latest quarterly member survey by going to iowabusinesscouncil.org. We welcome your comments. Send them by email to radio@totallyiowa.com. I'm Jeff Stein. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you have a prosperous week.
The Iowa Business Report is a copyrighted production of Totally Iowa Media, which is solely responsible for its content. For more, click on the radio programs button at totallyiowa.com.